Let's just lift our hands and praise God because Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. Amen. We praise and reverence and honor and magnify the name of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise, reverence, and honor be unto thee both now and forevermore. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, your power, your spirit. Praise God for the privilege to come together in the name of Jesus and mingle our voices together in prayer and praise and adoration and thanksgiving unto thee. We worship thee. We glorify thee. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, how many of you love Jesus? Let's see your hand. Before you're seated, turn, shake hands with somebody and say, I love Jesus. And then you may be seated. Praise the Lord. One more time, please, I want to direct your attention to the 5th chapter of Mark. We just didn't get all of that message out of our system, and the way to get it out is just to preach it out, you know. I want to talk to you a little bit more tonight on the thought of the tangibility of God's healing power. Then tomorrow evening we'll go to another subject, or related subject, but not the same message. All right, Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, or as the margin said, that power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And then reading again from the 10th chapter of Acts, we find out what this power was that flowed out of Jesus into this woman and healed her. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and then something else, and power. Notice it didn't say the Holy Ghost went out of him, power went out of him. What kind of power was it? It was healing power. Anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing. And then Acts, the 19th chapter, the 11th and 12th verses, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, the word tells us here, these handkerchiefs, aprons were brought unto the sick, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now we've been talking about, we reiterate some things we said, and then we'll say some more things, about the tangibility of God's healing power. You'll find that Jesus laid hands on the sick, or they touched his clothes as this woman touched him, in obedience to a spiritual law, the law of contact and transmission. The contact of his hands upon the sick one, or the contact of their hands as they touched his clothing, transmitted the power that he was anointed with, healing power, to effect a healing in their body. Now, God's healing power is a tangible substance. It is a heavenly materiality, and it can be transmitted by the laying on of hands or by a cloth or a handkerchief. This woman who touched his clothes found this power emanating from his person. You see, the Word of God teaches us that one of the secrets of divine healing is the tangibility of God's power. You see, tangible means perceptible to the touch, capable of being touched. God's power is perceptible to the touch. God's healing power is perceptible to the touch. I can remember when I was healed by God's power. Now, I realize this, that a lot of times when we appropriate faith for healing in prayer, we're not conscious of any power being transmitted unto us, but immediately healed and well. That happens very often. But in fact, most of the time in my own life has been that way. But right on the other hand, when I was on the bed of affliction away back there in 1933 and 1934 over here in McKinney, Texas, having spent 16 long months flat on my back, and five doctors said I had to die, I had two serious organic heart troubles, a body that became practically totally paralyzed, an incurable blood disease, the fifth doctor said to me as I asked him about it. And then I'd wasted away, loaned away 89 pounds. Well, I wasn't Pentecostal or full gospel. I was Southern Baptist. I was born and raised Southern Baptist. And it was while I read Grandma's old Methodist Bible on the bed of affliction that I began to see Mark 11:24 said, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and ye shall have them." And on the second Tuesday of August of 1934, at about 10, between 10 and 10:30 in the morning, Mama had bathed me about 8:30 and left me propped up on two large pillows and left me there with my Bible, and I was reading this verse of Scripture again that declared, "What things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." And so I said to the Lord Jesus, "Dear Lord Jesus, if you stood here by my bedside in person, I would say to you that this verse of Scripture said, 'What things soever you desire, I desire a well body.' Second, it said, 'When you pray, I prayed.' Third, it said, 'Believe,' and I believe. And if you were standing here by my bedside in person, I could see you with my physical eye like I can Mama. And you'd reach your hand out and take my hand in yours. And you'd say to me, 'Son, your trouble is you don't believe.'" I said to him in tones of kindness, not tones of arrogance, I said, "I'd have to say to you, 'Dear Lord Jesus, you're lying about it. I do believe.'" Now, when I said that, he spoke to me. You know, the Lord can and does speak to our hearts. He speaks to us through the Word, but he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And so on the inside of me, I heard these words, and I knew it was the Lord talking. And here's what it said. "You do believe all right as far as you know." Now, he didn't tell me I didn't have faith, because I did. Every saved person does. But you can't believe beyond actual knowledge. I was believing as far as I knew. And then he gave me a little more knowledge so I could believe a little more. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you want your faith to grow, then get a greater knowledge of God's Word, and you'll have a greater faith. And if you never receive a greater knowledge of God's Word, you'll never have greater faith. I don't care how much you pray for it, how much you fast for it, what all you do to get it, you'll just never get it. If you get 999,000 preachers and half their wives to pray for you, and every radio preacher and every television preacher in the country to pray, when they all get to, you'll be right where you were. Unless you get a better knowledge of God's Word, you'll never have any better faith or any more faith. Say amen if you can. It's so anyhow. And so, he said to me, "You do believe all right as far as you know." And then by the Spirit to my heart in that inward voice, he said, "But." That last clause goes with that verse of Scripture, and then he quoted it to me. "And ye shall have them." And like a flash, I saw it. It was like somebody turned a light on the inside of me. It was years later before I found that verse in the Psalms where the psalmist says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." But I had the experience without knowing the Scripture. That word gave light. It was like somebody turned electric light on the inside of me. I saw it. And you know, there's where you've got to see God's words, down here on the inside of you, not up here. You can have a head knowledge all you want to and never get anything from God. But when that word gets down here on the inside of you, it'll enlighten you and faith will be there. And so I said, "I see it, I see it, I see it, I see it." Right out loud, I began to say that. "I see it, I see it. I see what I must do. I see that my believing must go beyond where it has been before." And on the basis of the light of this Scripture, it could. I said, "I see that I must begin to believe while I'm still lying here flat on my back in bed, having walked steps, still paralyzed, still have my paralysis, yet I must begin to believe that I receive healing for my paralysis. And while my heart's still not beating right, yet I must begin to believe that I receive healing from a deformed heart. And while the incurable blood disease is still in evidence, yet I must begin to believe that I receive healing for the incurable blood disease. And he's told me that if I believe I receive it, then afterwards," sometimes it's pretty quick, sometimes it's quite a while before it's manifested, "but then," he said, "you'll have it." He didn't ask me to believe I have it. He asked me to believe that I receive it, and he told me then I'd have it. And I began to say out loud in my room, with the thrill of revelation from God's Word, "Hallelujah. I believe or receive. I believe or receive healing. And you know what? I was born and raised Southern Baptist. I only went to two other churches to visit, you see, in my life, besides Southern Baptist. And I never seen anybody in these churches I went to, because they didn't do it there, ever lift their hands to praise God. But you know, I had an urge to lift my hand to God. And though I was, the upper part of my body was partially paralyzed, I'd regained some use of it. And I could. It was a little difficult, but I could get my hands up. And I managed to get my hands up enough where my elbows were laying on the bed. You see, I was sitting on the bed by my side, but my hands up, like about all I could do right at the moment. Because I couldn't lift them up and hold them that way because of the partial paralysis, they'd fall down, see. And I couldn't use them to full use, see. But I managed to get my elbows at least on the bed beside me to lift my hands to God. Praise God. I'd never seen anybody do that. But I had an urge to lift my hands. And I lifted my hands to God and said, I believe. I believe. What do you believe? I believe I'll receive healing for the paralysis. I believe I'll receive healing for the deformed heart. I believe I'll receive healing for the incurable blood disease. I believe I'll receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Well, I'm not going into detail about it. I may another night. But I just want to say this to you, that on the inside of me, in my spirit, I heard the Lord say again, or the Spirit of the Lord, that's the way He speaks to you, by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I heard Him say again, get up. Or first He said, now you believe you're well. I said, I sure do. See, I had no evidence of it, but I believed it. I believe I'll receive. Well, then He said, well, people ought to be up at 10 or 10:30 in the morning. And then He said to me, get up. Well, now the thought flashed across my mind first, how am I going to get up? It hadn't been only less than a month I fell out of bed and couldn't get up. Had to lie there for 45 minutes till my oldest brother came in, lifted me up and put me back in bed. But I didn't listen to my head. That's what gets most folks in trouble. They listen to their head instead of their heart. He didn't tell us to believe with our head. He told us to believe with our heart. And so on the inside of me, I just cut my mind off, so to speak. Just wouldn't listen to it. Just shut it off. Wouldn't listen to it. And said, yeah, that's right, that's right. Praise God, I'm going to act in faith. And I'll get up. Well, it took me a while. I struggled to a seated position. I reached down with my hands. It took me a while to do it and struggled to pull my feet up and my knee right up against my chest. And then the other one. And then to push my feet off the bed. And it fell off down on the floor like a couple of chunks of wood. And I wouldn't even have known I had any feet if I'd been going my feet. But I could look down there and see was there. And I got a hold of the bedpost. And I slid off the bed. And draped over that bedpost. It wasn't a real high, it was a low one and pretty good size. And I draped over that bedpost. It caught me right in here to wrap my arms around it. And my knees, well, they were that close to the floor. They wouldn't function, you see. And they just, you know. And there I was, draped over that bedpost. No evidence of healing whatsoever. And so I said at first, because I'd been lying flat for 16 months and this little upright position, I guess the blood rushed to my head because that room began to spin, you know, and the floor was where the ceiling where the floor was. So I just shut my eyes and held on till it quit spinning. Then opened my eyes and everything's in place. And then I had an urge to lift my hand. I thought if I lift my hand, I'll slide down that post in the floor. So I held on real tight with this and kept this arm around that post and lifted that hand like that and said, I want to announce in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the holy angels. And I want to call the devil to record and all evil spirits that may be present in this room that according to Mark 11:24, I believe I'll receive the healing for my body. Now, I hadn't felt a thing. I was draped over that post. My knees wouldn't function. They was almost on the floor, you see. Like that, about that much. Just barely almost touching the floor. And yet when I said that, I felt something strike me in the top of the head. Somebody said, what did it feel like? Well, I described it then that way, and after 30-some-odd years, I can't improve on it. It felt like somebody might be up above me pouring a pitcher of honey on me. Hallelujah. It was good, it was blessed, it was sweet, and it just oozed down over me. Just oozed down over my head. You know, like honey would just ooze. But there was a warmth to it. A real warm glow to it. And it just oozed down over my head and run down over my shoulders and down my arms and out the ends of my fingers. And it went down my body. When it got to my waist where I had no feeling at all on down there, then as it went down, feeling came back to me. And it went out the end of my toes and I was standing straight. Yeah. I felt that. Fatisto correndi libra disda calihina hindu sundo kelehevieni kista. God's power is tangible. It will be made manifest unto thee. Believe ye, and surely ye shall feel, even as this woman felt in her body, she was healed of that plague. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Well, God's tangible healing power, perceptible to the touch, capable of being touched. Hallelujah. Flowed into my body. And you know something else? That power didn't just come that day. God didn't send that power from heaven that day. That power was really in my room every day. Because you know what? God's Holy Ghost is everywhere present. Yes, sir. I just didn't plug into it. See? See? Now in this story here, about the healing of this woman, you see the tangible power of God being manifested and transmitted to her as she touched Jesus' clothes. But wait a minute. Jesus tells us that there's another little secret here. In the 34th verse, he said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." See? It was faith, her faith that gave action to that power. God's healing power was in my room the whole 16 months I was there. God's healing power could have healed me the first day just as easy as it did the last day. You see? I'm talking about the first day as bedfast as well as could the last day as bedfast. Any day during that whole 16 months, God's power was right there. But that power is inactive. That power is inert. That power is passive until faith is exercised. You see, when Jesus said, "Somebody touched me," the disciples said, "Lord, the multitude thronged thee, and sayest thou, somebody touched me." In other words, they're saying there's no telling how many people touched you. Notice the expressions in this verse, portion of Scripture. Multitude, throng, and press. Have you ever been in a multitude or a throng where they were pressing in on every side? Well, there's no telling you know how many people may have touched him. Just been pushed up against him. Accidentally. But that power did not flow out to the accidental touch. Others touched him, no doubt in my mind, through curiosity, just to see if anything would happen. But that power does not flow out to the touch of curiosity. That power only became active when somebody touched him in faith. God's healing power is inactive. God's healing power, though it may be present, is passive until faith is exercised. Faith gives an action. Hallelujah. And so, he said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." You see, in this story of this woman who touched his clothes, and Jesus was aware of the outflow, and the woman aware of reception, the healing is a fact. But here, both faith and power were apparent. Not just power, not just faith, both of them. Power and faith. Now, it is clearly evident to those who are students of divine healing, that sometimes God's healing power is ministered to a sick person to a degree that that person is manifestly supercharged with the power of God, just like a person might be charged with electricity. And yet no real or final healing takes place until something happens that releases the faith of the individual. We need to know that. It's true. I can remember way back in 1939. Now, I began first as a Baptist boy preacher. Got the baptism in the Holy Ghost 1937. And then I switched over. And in the fall of 37, well, I became associated with the Full Gospel group. And so I accepted the pastor of one of their churches. Well, now, of course, I'm new in this, see, in 9th of June of 1939. And so my wife and I were straightening up in the parsonage. What few belongings we had, we'd got them boxed up and got them in. And we were straightening up. And here came a knock on the door. And I went to the door, and there stood a little cotton-headed boy. He said, "Mama wants you to come and pray for her. She's sick." Well, I'd held revival in that church some months before, and then I had left, and this pastor had contacted me and said, Brother Hagin, I had no contact with the folks, said the church asked me if I'd contact you, the church board, see if you'd consider pastoring this church. And so I said, yeah, I would. And so he said, well, they want to know if it's all right to put your name up and vote on you. And I said, yeah. And so he phoned me back in the process of time and said, well, you got it. In fact, everybody that voted for you. So you got it. Now, I just preached there one Sunday then as pastor, you see. And you don't become acquainted with the congregation because you held a meeting 6 months before, you know, and because you preached one Sunday, so I didn't know who this cotton-headed boy was. He looked like several boys I saw around there. Who are you, I said, and who's Mama? Oh, he said, Sister so-and-so, and immediately I recognized it being one of my Sunday school teachers. Well, I said, all right, son, you just wait just a moment, and I'll put my tie and coat on, and I got my bottle of olive oil, and I said, I'll let you show me where you live, because I don't know my way around well enough. You could tell me, but I'd still have maybe to hunt and find a place. You can just take me right to your house. And so he took me right there, and so I anointed his mother with oil and laid my hands on her and prayed and said amen and got up and put the top on my oil bottle and the little bottle in my pocket and got ready to go. Now, I'm new in Pentecost. I don't know, you see, back there then, just how they do things. She said, and this wasn't necessarily the way they did it, but anyway, I learned, but she said, well, Brother Hagin said, Brother so-and-so, that was the former pastor, said he always prayed till the power fell. Well, now, I was new in this. I thought, well, I guess that's the way you do it. So I prayed for an hour and a half. It took me an hour and a half to do it, but after an hour and a half, the power fell. You know the power does fall? You know that? Amen. I mean, you know, Jesus said that the... Or we in the Old Testament, they prophesied that the Holy Ghost will come, you know, until you as rain, you know, and rain falls. And then there in the 10th chapter of Acts, the Bible said, you know, as Peter yet spake unto them, Cornelius in his household, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? Remember, I was having a discussion one time with some dear folks. They came to me, you know, and said, if you are not saved, if we are not saved, you are. Well, I said, that's the best evidence in the world that you're not saved, because I know I am. And if you would say, you'd know it too, because the Bible said we know we pass from death into life because of love and brethren. Well, that's all right, they said, maybe so, but we'd like to discuss with you. Well, I'd had some debates, and so I saw that didn't work, so I said, I'm not interested in doing a bunch of debating. It never helps anybody. We won't call it debate. We'll just discuss the Scriptures. We'd like to discuss the Scriptures with you. So finally, after some persistence, I agreed to do so. And we would discuss the Holy Ghost and divine healing and tongues and so on, and then you'd get them in a corner and they'd jump back off, you know, and they had a little rabbit path they run down through the Scriptures, you know. So after about 2 hours and a half of it, I said to them, now folks, my time is limited, and I'm not going to continue this any longer except only on one condition. That is, we take any subject you want to take, Holy Ghost, divine healing, tongues, or even if you want to, water baptism, whatever the subject is you want to discuss, we'll take it and discuss it till both of us are satisfied and through and said everything we want to say before we ever jump on another subject or get any other Scriptures to discuss. All right, they said, we'll agree to that. I said, all right, what subject do you want to discuss? Well, they said, that Holy Ghost business. Well, I knew right away they didn't know a thing in the world about him because he's not a business. Are you listening to me? So I said, all right, what do you want to know about him? See, and they still didn't catch it. The Bible said, cause the Holy Ghost, he and him. Doesn't it? Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he, the Father, will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So I said, what do you want to know about him? And they said, well, what is it? No, the Holy Ghost ain't it. And you hear somebody talking that way, you know they don't know him or know anything about him. They said, what is it? I said, what's what? They said, what is the Holy Ghost? Well, I said, you tell me. One of the leaders of the group pointed his finger and said, there it is, right there in your hand, the Bible. Said Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible's the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, I'm sure glad you told me. I always wondered what that was that fell on Cornelius' household while Peter was preaching to him. I said, you know, if the Bible that fell on them is as big as my Bible, especially after it fell from heaven, after it fell that far and hit them in the head, imagine it knocked them all out, don't you? And he got up and said to his bunch, let's go home. Well, I don't blame him. If I had known any more about that in the Bible, I'd stayed home to begin with. Well, I said all that to get this over to you, that God's power does fall. Praise God. The Holy Ghost fell on him. And I prayed in that room, brother, till the power of God fell on that woman. And she shook, and the bed shook, and the house shook. And I went home. And along in the afternoon, I heard a knock on the door, and I went to the door, and there stood that little cottonhead boy. He said, Mama, I want you to come and pray for her. Well, I said, what for? He said, for healing. Well, I said, I thought she got healed this morning. He said, well, she did, but she's hurting worse now. And so I went back down there and prayed another hour and a half that afternoon and prayed the power down. She shook, the bed shook, and the house shook. And I went home, and that went on, no, 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 and on 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 and on. Yes, sir. Till we got over in the third year. See, you thought I was exaggerating. I was putting all of them ons in there, did you? Huh? Yes, sir. And I remember we had built a little addition onto the parsonage, and we had carpenters in the church, and so we just bought the material, and these carpenters, they did all the framing out, you know, and all the big work, and I could do quite a bit of finishing work and so on. I was finishing it up, actually. Well, we was in a revival. I didn't preach. Evangelist was doing the preaching, and so I just liked a little bit, and I didn't want to do anything mess the next day, and so I just kept on working. I said, well, I'm going to finish this. It won't take me long. Well, it used to take you a little longer than you think for it, but anyway, I got it finished, you see. And so I was a little late. In fact, when I finished, they was already gathering the church next door. Cars were parking on the parking lot, you know, and so on. And so I had taken my bath and was shaving, about half through shaving, and I heard my wife say to somebody, he's back there in the bathroom, shaving. Go right on back. So I looked up, and here come that little cottonhead boy. Well, now, he and I had worked together so long, you know, after 3 years. After 3 years, until we didn't hardly have to, you know, wait to say anything. We just could read one another's mind and knew what he was going to say. The minute I saw him, I said, yeah, I know Mama wants me to come and pray for her. He said, yeah, she sure does. I was going to say, will it be all right to wait till after church? Because it was 10 minutes then till church started. I said, will. That's all I got out of my mouth. He said, no. She said, come on for church. She's a hurting awful bad. And I thought to myself, how in the world I'm going to finish shaving the other? And I did right on shave the other side of my face. Get in them and go to meeting clothes. Get down there to her house. Pray an hour and a half till the power falls and get back up here and do it all in 10 minutes. See? But anyway, I finished my shaving. My wife had laid my clothes out and I jumped into them real quickly and just ran out the back door of the park. Now I had an automobile. But if you'd went in my car, you'd have to go around the other way. And really, I could run there fast, and I'd get there twice as fast as you get there by car, but the way you could go. I ran down a back alley. You couldn't get out in these alleys, you see, with a car, but you could run down. And so I ran in behind the church and down a back alley and up another alley and across one street and down another alley, just full blast. And I knew right where she'd be, so I ran up to the side door and knocked, and somebody inside the bed said, come in. And the time I got in, I had my little bottle of oil, just a small bottle about like that, in my pocket here, this little side pocket in your coat pocket. And the time I got in there, I had the top off of that bottle. And here's exactly what I did. I anointed with oil, said, oh, God, heal this woman right now. And you said, if that's anything in your name, you'd do it. So you done, amen, hallelujah. That's exactly what I did. You want me to say it for you again? Did you get it? I anointed with oil, said, oh, God, heal this woman. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you said if you'd ask anything in your name, you'd do it, so you've done it. Amen. Hallelujah. By the time I got the amen, hallelujah, I had the top back on my bottle in my pocket and started to leave. I wanted to teach her a lesson. And as I started out the door, she said, wait. I said, wait a minute, don't say a word. I don't know how come to say this. I realized I was inspired by the Spirit later. I said, I know this. You're hurting worse now since I've anointed you all and prayed farther than you were and I came in the room a while ago. Yeah, she said, I am. Started hurting worse instead of getting better. I said, but right on the other hand, the Bible's true. I just quoted the scripture in my prayer. Jesus said if you'd asked anything in his name, he'd do it. So he's done it. The next time you'll see me, you tell him it's so. It is so. So goodbye. And ran out and slammed the door. And I ran up that alley and across the street and down another alley and back up another alley and in behind the church and in the side door of the church. And I looked at my watch and just exactly the time to start. Praise God. I went to the pulpit. Didn't even have to warm up. It was already warm. Amen. Got right into the service. Well, we had the song service and the prayer service, and then before we took up the offering, I wanted to illustrate and demonstrate to the people a few things that was happening. I said, hey, what let's do. Let's have a few folks testify that's been saved during this meeting or filled with the Holy Ghost during this meeting. You know, the rest of us and older saints, we can testify in time. This is just for the newcomer. Those who have been healed during this meeting, you know. So we was having a few of these testimonies, and about that time, doors like that right back out there, you know, opened, you know, and here came this lady in that had gone down there to pray for her. And as she walked down the aisle about that time, somebody sat down and ceased to testify, you see. And so she just picked it up and started testifying as she came down the aisle. Said, you know, Brother Hagin, after you'd known me with all, you said to me, I know you're hurting worse now than you were, and you came in, but next time you see me, you tell me it's so. Well, she said, you ran out of the room and left. And she said, you know, in just a few moments, every symptom left me. I never felt better in my life, so I just got up and got ready and came to church. And you know, from then on, never didn't have to go pray for her again. She'd come to church and get prayed for. If she needed it, he'd get healed. See? Now you see, God's my witness. I'm not lying about it. I've gone down to that woman's house in a day in August, right here in Texas, you know, when there wasn't a leaf a-stirring. I mean, it was so still. I looked at the trees in the yard. Wasn't a leaf a-stirring. I looked at the sky. It was just as blue as it could be. Not well, way over yonder, there's a few little old white puffs of cloud. That's all. And yet I prayed until God's power fell in that room, until the windows rattled like there's a storm on. And that's not an exaggeration. The fourth chapter of Acts, the Bible said, where they all prayed there, the place where they were assembled was shaken. It was shaken. And she didn't get healed. You see, the power won't heal you just by itself. The power won't heal you because you felt it. You see, when something happened that released her faith, then bless God the healing. And so it happened so many times that God's healing power is ministered to a sick person to the degree that that person is manifestly supercharged with the power of God, just like one might be charged with electricity, and yet no real or final healing takes place until something happens that releases the faith of the individual. I remember again, I was preaching in Beaumont, Texas, January of 1953. In the Lamar Assembly of God Church. And a lady from one of the other full gospel churches there in the city, another Assembly of God Church, brought her daughter one night. This girl was between 7 and 8 years of age. She'd had polio when she was 4 years of age, never walked another step, never been to school in her life because she couldn't walk. She had to be carried. She had braces on around her waist and around her thigh and around her foot. I said to the mother, what happens? You take the brace off. Do you ever take them off only when I give her a bath? What happens? Well, this leg from the thigh, from this hip, it just rise up and hang out that way from her body. The foot would turn over. She couldn't walk. She'd be walking on it. So I laid hands on her and prayed. Held my hands for a little while upon that limb. Said, dear mother, if it'll do you any good, let me tell you this. I've got a stronger anointing with her than anybody I've prayed for during this meeting. And I feel that power going into this limb right now. Handed her back to the mother. See, it's not mine. Prerogative to tell her what to do. I didn't tell her to remove the braces or not to. I just handed it to her, and she carried her on back to the seat and sat down. I went on with the healing line. The next morning, I was shaving, getting ready for my morning service, and Brother Mason, who was the pastor there, came running, you see, up the stairs to the bathroom where I was shaving, said, calling my name, and I stuck my head out the bathroom door and said, Doc, I'm back here shaving. Brother Hagin said, you know the lady there last night, that little child, polio and with the braces? Yes, well, he said, she's over there.
And she's brought the child. The braces are off, and the child's completely well, just walking everywhere. Well, we demonstrated that morning, then that night in the service as well. The child walked up and down the altar, on top of it, so folks could see, walked down the aisle to the back of the church. And they had the mother to give the testimony. She said to them, "How many of you were here last night?" The majority of the congregation were there. I said, "Well, you saw then what happened, heard what Brother Hagin said, and so on. And you heard him say every night what he says about Jesus appearing to him and anointing and so on." Well, said time my husband and I got home, the child was asleep. So we put her to bed. She sleeps with the braces. I got up this morning, got my husband off to work. And then she said about 8 o'clock, as is my custom, I drew up the girl's bath water and I went and awakened her because it was up late. She was still asleep. And I always give her a bath at that time every morning. And that's the only time the braces are ever pulled off is when she's given a bath. So I picked her up and carried her into the bathroom. She can't stand alone. I held her up there and pulled her clothes off, her sleeping clothes off, and pulled the braces off. And said that leg just pulled up there and hung out, dangled out from her body, and the foot turned over. She's no better, no different. That limb, of course, is smaller than the other one. I put her over into the tub, got out on my knees and began to bathe her, and said, "Dear Lord, why didn't you heal my baby? I so much wanted her to be healed. Only child I had was her baby, even though she was about 8 years old." Now, within 10 days' time, the doctors are going to fuse the bones in the ankle, you see, and it'll always be stiff then. And then they say that when she's around 12, 13, somewhere in there, they'll go into the hip and fuse those bones, and then it'll always be stiff all of her life. Those bones are fused or welded together, you see. And they think, they said, the best we can offer is when maybe when she's 18 or 19, she might be able to swing her body along between crutches, you know. Stand on the good foot, you know, and swing her body on, or the good limb. And so, why didn't you? Why didn't you, she says. Why didn't you? Why didn't she receive him? And so she said, on the inside of me, something. Well, really, it's someone. It's the Holy Spirit. Just seemed to speak up and said, "You believe that Brother Hagin told a lie? You heard him stand right there in the pulpit and say I'd go to hell for lying just quick as a wooden stealing, and you know you will. You will. And you heard him say that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and laid the finger of his right hand in the palms of each one of his hands. And you heard him say that Jesus said for him to tell the people exactly what Jesus told him, and that if you would believe it and receive it, then that anointing would flow from his hands into their body and would effect the healing and the cure. Now," she said, "this inward voice said, do you believe that he sat there in that chair and held that child in his lap and laid a hand on that leg and said and lied about it when he said, I feel that power flowing into it?" She said, "I dried up my tears and said, God, forgive me of my unbelief." She said, "I said out loud, dear Lord, I believe that Brother Hagin told the truth. I believe he's a prophet of God. I believe he told the truth. I believe that you appeared to him like he said he did. I believe you laid the finger of your right hand in the palm of each one of his hands. I believe that when he laid his hands on this child's limb, that power, just like he said, flowed into it. I believe that power is working in my child's limb right now. And he said you told him to tell me that if I would believe that, and I can't believe it because it's my child, my responsibility, she's a minor. And I believe that. And if I would believe it and receive it, then that power would flow into us or into her and would effect a healing and a cure. And I believe it's working in there right now to heal her." And she said, "When I said that, I suddenly heard something like dry sticks a-popping there, breaking. And I looked down the bathtub and that foot and limb, leg straightened out right there before my eyes. And not only did it straighten out, but I can prove it by a whole church full of Assembly of God folks and Assembly of God preachers because Brother Mason's pastor, you know, Assembly of God Church down in Brownsville now, Texas. Isn't that right? Prove it by him. That leg, not only that, but it grew instantly the same size as the other leg. Praise God. And there she was walking. Well, now you see, this healing was almost missed. The power, the healing power, was ministered to that body. It was there all the time. But it was when something happened that released the faith of the individual, in this case, the mother. Something happened that released the faith of the individual before the healing became final. So keep that switch of faith turned on, praise God. It works. We need to realize this, that healing is not always instantaneous. It wasn't even so in Bible day. The Bible said the 10 lepers were healed as they went. The Bible said the nobleman's son began to amend from that hour. The healing power or virtue is administered very often to a person or ministered to them, and the healing process becomes evident later on. Now, I would be glad, as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to see everything always, everybody always heal instantly. I said to somebody here the other day, talking to somebody here, I remember one meeting. This all happened just in one revival meeting I held right here in the state of Texas in the Assembly of God Church. The pastor will vouch for it. That there were three people in this church, not either one of them was a member of his church, but three people that were brought in the process of the revival, that one of them in a wheelchair. One of them was just carried in by others, hadn't walked a step. A young man, 28 years of age, carried in, you know, just gotten out of a car and carried in by some men, never walked a step in his lifetime. Another young lady was brought in on a stretcher. She had been in an automobile accident, been bedfast 2 years, paralyzed, and said she'd be paralyzed the rest of her life. Now, one of them, this older lady, Methodist lady in a wheelchair, instantly got up out of the chair. She'd had two strokes of paralysis, two strokes caused from high blood pressure, instantly got up and walked. The young man, 28 years of age, you could see no difference in him. But in the process of time, he began to walk. Praise God. The young lady on the stretcher, she could move one leg then, but the other leg wouldn't move. She did have feeling came to her. She was paralyzed, but feeling came to her. But in the process of time, she walked. Out of the three, only one was instant healing. Two of them was gradual. You see, that happened very often. Another time down in East Texas, several years ago, I was preaching. And they brought a man in. He's 40-some-odd years of age, never walked a step in his life. And he couldn't walk after we prayed for him. They carried him out. But the third night, the pastor and I drove up beside the church. I'm giving the Assembly of God pastor because he's still pastoring here in the state of Texas. Give you his name, because he's the man that said it to me. We sat there and we're talking. And a car drove up beside us. Many had already come to church. A car drove up beside us. Then they had an older church and had some high steps coming up into it. And I wasn't paying attention. Suddenly the pastor said, "Brother, hey, look, that's that fella. There's that crippled man. Never walked. Watch him." And I looked at him. There wasn't nobody helping, just walking right up the steps. And that night then we had him to walk up and down the aisle. Perfectly easy. Well, now you see, if he had gone away just because they carried him out that first night and said, "No, nothing happened. I didn't do anything. It didn't work," that manifestation never come. I've questioned these folks about it. I've done it again and again. Here's what he said, and here's what he believed. He said, "I believe that that power was ministered to me." I kept saying, "That power is working in me right now. I believe that. I receive it." You see, the healing became a reality. Are you listening to me? Don't turn the switch of faith off because there isn't an instant manifestation. Thank God for instant manifestations. But if it doesn't come, don't turn the switch of faith off. Keep believing God. I said this, it'll bear repetition at the moment. We were in the last few days of September and the first few days of October in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in the Bethany Baptist Church. Well, one night someone led a blind woman, totally blind woman, into the healing line. We laid hands upon her. God's power came upon her. She fell on the floor under the power and got up instantly, seeing. Her eyes were open. Since then, we've had a report from the church that she's still well, seeing. Praise God, her blind eyes were open. She was totally blind for 3 full years. Now, as far as I can remember, the same night, I know it was the same night, because this couple came from a distance and they didn't get into this healing line. I got tired and quit, actually. Didn't get to everybody. Because when you get tired, you'll lose it and you won't be effective, you see. And so they came up on the platform where I was sitting and said, I'd sat down after the service was already over. I was so tired I couldn't get out of the building. I just sat down there. And so They said, Brother Hagin, you know, we've come from the distance, and our child had a four-year-old boy, and they told me he's 4 years old. How come they didn't know? In their arms, the man did. And he said, he has club feet. And I looked at him. They were club feet, the farm feet. Would you minister? Just sitting there. I never got up out of my chair. I said, well, I'm so tired. I can't get up out of the chair. I said, but I just held those feet in my hands and prayed. I looked at them. There's no difference. They left. We closed the meeting the next Sunday and left. But then a week from the Sunday we had closed, in about 10 days from the time I'd laid hands on them, they came back to the Bethany Baptist Church and came up and asked the pastors. They came on the platform for the privilege of showing the people. In 10 days' time, those little deformed feet, club feet, and straightened out were perfectly normal. Praise God. Praise God. Well, now, what if those young couple had said, well, now, you know, if God was going to heal her, he'd have done it instantly like he did with the blind woman, so we didn't get anything. No. They went away and kept that switch of faith turned on, said Brother Hagin, laid his hands on him and said he felt the power of God go to him, and that power's working in these feet. That power's working in these feet. See, if you'll believe it and receive it, Jesus told me, you tell the people exactly what I've told you. He said, if they'll believe that, and we'll receive it. Believe I'm anointed. Believe the anointing's in my hands. He laid the finger of his right hand upon each one of my hands and said, I've anointed thee and called thee and given to thee a special anointing to minister to the sick. You tell them that, he said. You tell them I told you to tell them. If they will believe it and receive it. This is not the only way. It's one way of being healed. Then that anointing will flow from your hands into their body. It will drive out their sickness or disease or will effect a healing or a cure in them. Shall we stand, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, in just a few moments, we shall lay our hands upon the sick of this congregation by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to the law of contact and transmission. The contact of my hands will transmit God's healing power unto these bodies. But ere I do, I pray that peradventure there is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, a young man or a young woman in this congregation that is unsaved, that is lost, or that is backslidden, that you'd speak to their hearts tonight. I ask, dear Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no one who's heard me preach tonight will die and go to hell, for there is a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. But I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will make heaven their home. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his honor and glory. This sing the little chorus we sing so often. Only believe, all things are possible. Praise God. That's it. Start us off. Yes, amen. Possible. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Only believe. Only believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Any of you want hands laid upon you for healing tonight? Could I see your hand? Would you just lift them all over the building, wherever you are? All right. You that lifted your hands won't, for healing, remain standing. The rest of you may be seated. If you want hands laid upon you for healing, stand. Remain standing, please. Amen. Now somebody said to me, Brother Hagin, I came once. It's all right for me to come again. I said, well, be sure this time, though, you come in faith. Praise the Lord. Many times we had folks that I've had people say to me, born again, spirit-filled people, that have received miraculous healings. And yet the first time, sometimes even the second time, they came and didn't receive. But they said to me later, I see where I missed it. One man said to me, a businessman over in Dallas, he said, you know, I think I just thought you was going to heal me. Well, I'm not. But he said, I saw I had a part to play. And the next time he came in faith. He said to me, just lay your hands on me, I'll be healed. Though he was scheduled for major surgery, when he had the doctors to examine him again, next ray him, they couldn't find it, all gone. Praise God. And the doctor had already told him that this
the greatest possibility in the world if this condition was cancerous. And yet it's all gone. The growth's all gone. The tumor's all gone. Everything's gone. It's disappeared. Well, he's glad he came back, see? Now, just coming back again won't heal you. See, you could keep coming and come and come and come until if we stayed here long enough and laid hands on you long enough, we could wear every head off, a hair off the top of your head. And all you'd get out of it would be a bald head. I didn't say that to be funny, but just to make my point. Sometimes folk get the point a little bit when it's humorous to do otherwise. Amen. And that's true. It isn't just coming. It isn't just having hands laid on. It's going to work. It's because you come in faith. Jesus said, daughter, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. You come in faith tonight. Will you come on right now? If you want to come again, but come this time in faith. Come on, stand here right now. Now, sister, I lay my hands upon you in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in obedience to the law of contact and transmission. The contact of my hands transmits God's healing power and virtue unto your body. To effect a healing and a cure therein. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed now. That's it right there. Thank him for it. Praise God. There's your healing, sister, right there. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. There's your healing right there, sister. Thank you, Lord. There's your healing, sister. Receive your healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Woo, hallelujah. Be healed now. Woo, hallelujah. That's it. Right there. Woo, that's it. It's going into you right now. Woo, thank you, Father, for healing this young man. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet. It is done. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing this young lady. That's it. Right there. Go ahead. Yield to that power. Mix faith with it. It'll heal you. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That's it right there, brother. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Receive your healing, sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stand right over here, brother. Praise God. Lord, we just lay hands on this cloth. May it be saturated with the power that we're anointed with. When it's laid upon the body of the sick, surcharge that body and effect a healing and a cure therein in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, sing it again. Only believe. All things are possible. Let's lift our right hand while we sing. Only believe. Oh, glory. Yes. All things. Thank you, Jesus. The devil will not win out. Hallelujah. Victory. Is won through and by the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, let's lift our hands and give the Lord the praise, honor, and glory for everything that has been done, that which shall be done, and that which is being done right now. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the glory for it all. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Great is his name. Greatly to be praised. Woo, glory. Above every name is the name of Jesus. We reverence and honor and magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you are believers tonight? Let's see your hand. Before you go, I want you to turn and shake hands with somebody and say, I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. And then you're dismissed. You may go. God bless you.